The Word of Mouth podcast is brought to you by
Dartmouth Hitchcock. Imagine nationally ranked healthcare in your community.
With convenient locations throughout northern New England.
World-class providers are closer than you think. Visit dartmouthhitchcock.org to learn more.
Dartmouth Hitchcock is here.
Word of Mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott, and it's time for another edition of Civics 101, a podcast refresher course on some basics you may have forgotten or slept through in school. One of our listeners got in touch with us through Harkin and asked for an explanation of the Constitutional Ethics Clause and the penalties for violating it. Well, it turns out there is no specific ethics clause in the Constitution. But there is the Emoluments Clause, which you've probably been hearing quite a bit about lately, especially as it relates to the president's global business empire and brand and world leaders and operatives staying at Trump hotels. Brianne Garrod is chief counsel of the Constitutional Accountability Center. That's in Washington, D.C., and she's joining us to help us answer some of those questions. Brianne, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So what is emoluments, first off? I've been wondering.
Sure. So, you know, emoluments is not a term that's used every day these days, but was used by the framers, and it had a pretty broad meaning. It referred to compensation, to gifts, to other forms of profits or gains. They wanted to pretty broadly prescribe the president and other office holders from taking benefits that might lead them to put their own personal interest above that of the nation.
Now, there are two pieces of the puzzle here, the Foreign Emoluments Clause and the Domestic Clause. Can you walk us through the distinction?
The Foreign Emoluments Clause prohibits any person holding what's called an office of profit or trust from accepting, without the consent of the Congress, any present emolument office or title of any kind whatever from any king, prince, or foreign state. So basically, if you're the president of the United States or the holder of another office, you can't be accepting gifts or presents or other financial benefits from foreign states. The Domestic Emolument Clause applies specifically to the president, and it provides that he shall, at stated times, receive for his services a compensation, so he should receive a salary, but he should not receive, within that period, any other emolument from the United States or any of them. So basically, the president can receive his salary, but he shouldn't receive any other benefit from either the federal government or state governments or the localities. The idea of both of these clauses was the president should be putting his focus on the national interest and not on his personal financial interest. They didn't want there to be concerns about corruption or individual states, foreign governments trying to curry favor with the president. And so that's why they put this broad prescription in the Constitution.
Well, trade and business were markedly different when the Constitution was drawn up. And now questions have arisen about the president's global business. But hotel rooms and rounds of golf aren't what you think of when you hear foreign gifts. So what do you think the framers would say about these transactions, these gifts today?
Well, you know, what we know about the framers is that they were deeply concerned about corruption. This was a term that came up over and over and over again as they debated the Constitution. They put a number of provisions in the Constitution to guard against corruption. And so what they would not have wanted was the possibility that foreign governments would be trying to curry favor with the president. And they might not have been able to imagine a president with a vast business empire like Donald Trump's or with hotels around the globe, but the kind of benefits that the president may be receiving from foreign governments and states clearly fall within the broad prescription that they put into the Constitution.
Has any past president had to deal with these kinds of conflicts of interest?
Well, you know, what makes Donald Trump unique is not so much his vast business holding, but his unwillingness to take the steps that past presidents have taken in order to ensure that he wasn't in violation of the Emoluments Clause. You know, past presidents have been willing to divest, to put their assets in a blind trust. That's what President Trump was encouraged to do even before he took office by bipartisan ethics experts and the Office of Government Ethics. We obviously don't know the full extent of the problem because there's been a lack of transparency about the extent of his business holdings. But it's quite clear from what we do know is that he's in violation of these clauses.
Does the Emoluments Clause apply or not apply to those traditional givings of gifts or exchange of gifts between heads of state, like at a state dinner or something like that?
So, you know, the Foreign Emoluments Clause provides that Congress can consent to gifts, and Congress has historically permitted, you know, small gifts to be accepted. That's, you know, very different than what we're talking about here, where the president has a vast business empire and may be receiving, you know, significant financial benefits from states in a way that raises the very corruption concerns that the framers were concerned about.
A team of lawyers for the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, or CREW, have brought a lawsuit against the president for violation of the Emoluments Clause. Now, has this ever been argued before?
Well, you know, there really isn't court precedent for precisely the reason that past presidents have taken the steps they needed to ensure that they weren't in violation of the clause. But I think, you know, given that President Trump has chosen not to divest, I think we're going to see a lot of litigation. The CREW suit is a very important first case, but I think it's the first case, not the last.
And do you know what the nature of their suit is exactly, the case that made it brought it to court?
Sure. So, you know, CREW is arguing that the president is violating the Foreign Emoluments Clause. If you look at their complaint, they list a number of different examples of financial benefits that the president is likely receiving from foreign governments and states in violation of the clause. And they explain that they should be able to go into court to challenge him for this violation because it's injuring them. You know, they are a watchdog organization that monitors ethics in government, and they're having to divert resources and time to this issue that they could be spending on other issues that the president had either divested or, in the case of the Foreign Emoluments Clause, you know, sought consent from Congress and received it.
What if this lawsuit goes forward? What will happen to the president?
So, you know, As this lawsuit goes forward and other lawsuits go forward, there can be different types of relief sought. You know, one type of relief is what's called injunctive relief, basically asking a court to make the president divest his assets so that he's no longer in violation of the clause. One could imagine hotel competitors, for example, filing suit because they're injured by the fact that foreign governments are staying at Trump hotels in order to try to curry favor. And so they might seek a different type of damages. They might seek monetary damages to make up for the money that they've been losing by virtue of the president's Emoluments Clause violations.
If Donald Trump did divest, as you've suggested he's obligated to do, still, his immediate family is in charge of the business. So what real difference does that make? He would presumably take back the reins after his presidency, right? Is that okay?
Well, I think there are ethics experts who would say that's not okay and that he needs to take steps to ensure that he can't just reap the benefits of the presidency for 8 years from now, but needs to totally separate himself and his family from the Trump organization. But we haven't even had an opportunity to really fully debate that question because Trump's not willing to go anywhere near that. You know, at this point, he has said he has turned management over to his children, but won't even sell his own stake in the company. So, you know, if he were willing to do that, then I think there'd be a lot of discussion about what exact steps he needs to take to ensure that he's not in violation of the clauses.
So there is a lawsuit. There are ethics experts, bipartisan ethics experts, as you mentioned, but can he be compelled by any congressional body or other ethical body?
Well, I mean, certainly Congress can impeach. You know, that is a power that they have. I think the president's violation of the Constitution would, you know, constitute a grounds for impeachment. And so that is certainly a step that Congress could take. One could also imagine a court saying the president is in violation of the Constitution. We're going to enjoin him from continuing to receive these benefits. I think we're going to see a lot of action, certainly in public conversation, but also in the courts going forward. And it'll be really interesting to see what the courts do.
What do you think, Brianne, is the most important thing that citizens should know about the Emoluments Clause?
You know, I don't think anyone should think about this as a technicality. You know, the Emoluments Clauses, and again, there are two, there's both the foreign and the domestic clause, reflect the framers, our founding fathers, very, very deep concern about corruption. You know, it's true that emoluments was not a household word before a couple of months ago. But that's because, you know, past presidents have gone to real lengths to make sure that they didn't run afoul of these clauses. But that doesn't mean that the clauses aren't important. You know, they, again, reflect a deep, deep concern that our framers had about corruption and one that is still very important today. You know, we want the American people to have confidence that when the president is acting, he's acting in their interest and not in his own personal financial interest.
Brianne Garrod, Chief Counsel of the Constitutional Accountability Center. Brianne, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks again for having me.
Thank you so much for your listening time today. Music in this episode came from Broke for Free, Travis Yost, and Tyler Gibbons. There's loads more to hear and explore at wordofmouthradio.org. We're on Facebook at Word of Mouth Radio and on Twitter at Word of Mouth. And you can search Word of Mouth NHPR in Apple Podcasts or Google Play to hear our podcast. And if you like it, please rate it. It means so much more when things get shared by word of mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott, back tomorrow too, here on NHPR.
Word of Mouth is produced by Molly Donahue,
Logan Shannon,
and Jimmy Gutierrez.
Our senior producer is
Taylor Quimby,
and our executive producer is Maureen McMurray.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR,
its Board of Trustees,
or its underwriters. Word of Mouth is a production
of New Hampshire
Public Radio. Word of Mouth is produced by Molly Donahue,
Logan Shannon,
and Jimmy Gutierrez.
Our senior producer is
Taylor Quimby,
and our executive producer is Maureen McMurray.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR,
its Board of Trustees,
or its underwriters. Word of Mouth is a production
of New Hampshire
Public Radio.